Raise one hand, let's say together, our Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive the accuracy of your word, the wisdom in your word. We believe and receive that in this service, there is no distraction in our hearts and in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. We're still looking at pre-marital and marital relationships and post-marital relationships. Before you say, I do. When you are done. What's the last one? What are you doing? I will focus on what are you doing on the third service. What are you doing, Gagan? No, I think the title is, what are you doing, Seth? That's it. Matthew's Gospel 28, quickly. And Jesus came and spake them, saying, all authority, which is the word power, given to me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the word to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then he says, amen. I said this in the first service, that what does this mean to you? As a person, is this where you draw your life's purpose? Because if it doesn't mean something to you, then it wouldn't mean anything to your relationships. What does this mean to your relationships? Does this influence the people you bring into your inner circle, the people that you draw close to you? Is this something you consider as value, as a life's mission? Because you can't sidetrack this or sidestep it from relationships. I mentioned this in the first service. There's always, when it comes to marriage, we put the gospel aside. That's very ridiculous. How would you put the gospel aside? Because what matters to Jesus, whom you claim to be the head of your relationship, is this gospel. So you can't remove the gospel, and what the gospel gives us as a responsibility from your relationships. It says to make disciples of every nation. So I'm going to ask a question. Would my marriage, premarital and marital, would it promote this? Not just by saying it. You know, people often say that together we stand together for the cause of the gospel of Christ, and that's just for the marriage altar. But this is a lifelong commitment which ought to have been seen already before you say, I do. And it's important. So in Luke's Gospel, also in Mark 16, where he says in 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. That's the word devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They take up serpents. And if you drink anything, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they the sick shall recover. So now the Lord has spoken unto them, he was lifted up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, metastasized, and confirming the word with signs following. Again, does this inspire us in our relationships? And don't forget, friends become girlfriend. Amen? Huh? Friends become boyfriend. Amen? So it's not boy that becomes girlfriend. It's boy that becomes boyfriend. And boyfriend. So I say, I don't do boyfriend. I get thinking, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Idea is need and the communication is clear. Someone say, well, I don't date, I go out, whatever, come inside. It's just nomenclature. We're saying the same thing. Okay? So when you have friends or you keep friends that do not have this as their value in life, then that's probably where you're going to end up in your marital relationships. In Luke's Gospel 24 as well, and 25, where Jesus says, "These folks, O fools, are slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then, you know, we said earlier that this is the Bible of Jesus, Genesis to Malachi, which means we're going to make references to them, and it's the background of the conversations of marriage that you find in both the Synoptic, the Book of John, the Book of Acts, of course, the Epistles. In 44, he came and spoke to them, "These are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened it, the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Yet again, the emphasis is the Old Testament books, which means that's the emphasis of marriage as well. The references, the examples, the context will be the Old Testament books. John's Gospel 20 and 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he said this, he breathed on them," italicized there, "and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins that you remit, I remit unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, I retain." Again, something has run through the four references, text that we have read, has Jesus given to his church, his disciples, the saints, the believers. He gives to them a responsibility. In marriage, therefore, whether pre-relationship or the marriage itself, must bear the consequences, or should I say, the responsibility that goes with this. So I'll just summarize a few things we looked at in the first service earlier today. And we saw Paul. I'll just make references to it. In 1 Corinthians 7. Okay, I said this. I said, what does this mean to you? The Great Commission. What does it mean to your relationship? What does it mean to your marriage? Does it mean something to you? So we began to look at Paul and the concept of the married and the unmarried. And I showed in the first service that it's a verb, which means it's not a state of being where, this man is born not to marry or born to marry. It's a state of, not a state of being, it's a verb, an action that people take. The agamos and the word gamos, they are verbs. Something you do or you do not do. So we also looked at when Paul says he cares for the affairs of this world that he may please his wife. We looked at that word earlier. To please means to render service, or husband as well, to render service, to be available. We said to satisfy. So which means that you have a duty to please your spouse. It's a biblical duty. And we looked at the word distraction also, where Paul used the word distraction. Now we said it mirrors something that happened in Luke 10 and verse 40, the case of Martha and Mary. That yes, to serve Jesus with food was good service, but to listen to the word was the better part. Now we said both are very important. So when it comes to marriage, therefore, you must please the Lord and please your spouse. Of course, priority is the Lord and then your spouse. But we said also that there will be a distraction. And that's why Paul says that I just want you to be aware of that distraction. The distraction is an instruction from God to please your wife or your husband, yet you must also please the Lord in all things. So we said, just before you say I do, let there be a conversation on all these important things. He said marriage must not be based on beauty or charm because they are deceitful and they are vanities. And I did say that about, you know, the social media era where everybody's before cameras and they're just putting up a front, you know. Before you know it, you begin to live your life like you're an actor. You know, and then you begin to act out the script unnecessarily. So we looked at text of scripture. We're going to see a few more. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except be agreed? Proverbs 31 verse 30. Said, do not build marriage on beauty. Charm is deceitful. And things like that. We also answered the question. I'm just summarizing the first service. What is courtship? We said, well, there's no biblical standard in the sense of, oh, it's 5 days, 6 days, 10 days. But we saw a few things. One, she must, whoever is getting into marriage must have passed the flower of age, which means ripe enough to take decisions, ripe enough to, hold enough to have sex, one, ripe enough to take decisions, be independent-minded, and mature enough. And we said, what are the templates? Well, you can use education, you graduated from school, you cannot be employable, or you are employed. You can use just mental awareness, you know, in just intelligence, ability to handle issues and be responsible. That comes very vitally. You know, also, we said, what are the things that scriptures instructs youth, young people or the unmarried to do? Flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. Evil communication corrupts good manners, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 16. Flee fornication, the body is not for fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 13. Find a wife, you've done the right thing, Proverbs 18:22. Let your vessel be kept for sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 to 5. And not just all of that, we saw that earlier today. Now, we want to move further a bit and say, with what we have read so far, and I'm going to talk about to both the unmarried and the married now. What we have read so far, marriage therefore is a partnership. And I said something earlier that both the Colossian text and the Ephesian text of Paul shows you that it's as Christ loved the church and as the church is subject to Christ. And I said that is beyond an ephemeral understanding. When you look at Christ and the church, it's a partnership that fulfills God's will in the earth, which means that marriage is meant to be a partnership. Let me note something again that I said earlier. It is not a destination. You are not going anywhere in particular. You know, you are going everywhere at any time. So don't treat it like a destination. That is why it is nothing worth being in a hurry about. Because you are not going to a, you are not going to a destination. I say, where we get here, so we are done, Abby. So see you again. No. So I did mention that if you are going on a long journey, look at the illustration. If you say, imagine having somebody in a car with you alone, and you are there for 12 hours, then 24 hours, then 36 hours, and just going, 48 hours. After I say, can we just have somebody else join us? You know, that's exactly what it is. You won't get to a place and say, so we are done, bye-bye. No, it's a long journey. Therefore, it requires commitment. And commitment that will be based on communication. You sit down before marriage and during marriage and ask critical questions. Questions about sex, for example. We said that last week. What do you think about sex? Okay, this is what we think about sex. This is what the Bible says about sex, okay? Okay, since we know we're not married, we shouldn't have sex, what do we do not to have sex? Don't say, we just trust the Lord. No, sit down and talk about it. So that you can trust each other. Have that conversation. And when you marry, what do you talk about sex? How do we deal with sex? You sit down and have that communication. Have communication about finances, about children. You must talk because it is a partnership. Now, I know we've grown up in a patriarchal system of Africa where we learn to say the man is the head of the home. He's the head of the home. And sometimes we have big heads, you know, and he's the head of the home. Some say, no, you are the head, but I'm the neck. Come on, you know. So put on a necklace on that, you know, all ridiculous. They're not terms that are sustainable with scripture. You sit down and have a communication that, you know, makes a lot of sense. So we said, it is a partnership. Now, a few other things. See, somebody asked a question in the first service and said, sir, now, he said, if I learn something now, I'm already in a relationship, and I learn something now, very interesting question, and it seems to affect whoever I am, what do you call it, going out, dating, courting, whatever. When we were younger, I'm still young, we call it engage. So we used to call guys who are in relationship vulcanizers. They are engaging women. That's it's an old, don't know the, it's a cultural context. So the person asked me, I said, well, that means that every time you have a new light, you will change the partner. He still didn't get what I was saying. That it is not a destination. It's a journey. A journey of discoveries. And there are things you will find out that will shock you. It shock you. And you go, hey! Then you have just gotten married. You get it. So all these Instagram, YouTube, na joke. He said to two people, and say, see how I do, and they're crying. Oh my life, you are. I don't know whether that's the song. Oh my life, the people are like you. Those who sang the song, go and look at them. You are just acting drama. There's no time to cry now. See? So, you are my dream girl. You be what I've been waiting for. Ah. You are going to wait, generally. And so, you must be emotionally prepared for it. And so we said, desperation is not love. Is that clear? You are desperate. Some people are just desperate. I know a lady like that, she fixed the wedding date for the guy. Went to the family and fixed all that. I said, well, I said, he's wasting my time. I had a critical question, she never answered. I said, what is your time? I just thinking, my time. Relax. You know, for something that you are going to be bored eventually, you are going to be tired, sometimes frustrated. Why are you rushing? You are going to get bored. You think it's all going to be exciting? Woo! I've been thinking to wake up every morning with you by my side. It's not going to happen like that all the time. There are times you just want to stay alone. Amen? I've been thinking, you something my whenever I see you, my eyes go jiggy 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 bang bang. Though I told you something, don't forget. When it comes to raps and toasting women, no matter how exaggerating you go, it's righteous. There's nothing wrong. Say everything. Say, I looked around the world. That's not like you. God will say, go on. Oh, when you stepped into my world became heaven. Heaven. Is it my heaven that is it? That's God. It's fine. You understand? But he wants you to open your eyes. And you have to. So, and somebody said this that blessed me. I'm going to read it to you. He said, the biggest problem in today's generation is that they rush into relationships with no capability whatsoever to take the responsibilities that come along. There are responsibilities in relationships. Even friendship. If I'm your friend, I will call you, look out for you. I have to feed the relationship. And so, many times, people don't take enough time to even know just enough about others. So, let me say this. Don't make a lifestyle of having boyfriend and girlfriend. Some, by the time you roll out your CVs, 2006 to 2007, GD, 2007, June to August 2007, Folake. And then you've gone round with boyfriend and girlfriend. And then, of course, along the line, the heart is broken, valves are taken off. What else is in the heart? A lot of emotional tachycardia has happened to you. And oftentimes, what I'm going to talk about later, you now use other people as rebound. You know? A rebound. I remember I had to cancel a couple who was divorced, and she told me something very honest. She said, well, when I saw a friend of mine get married to somebody I was hiring, I knew the person very well, because I knew this lady very well. I've known her for years. So when I saw my friend getting married, I said to myself, the next year I must get married. So somebody entered that trap. And, you know, that's a trap. Next day I must get married. You just set a trap. And then the guy entered, and, you know, they had kids too, and then they divorced. Because the whole thing just wore off unnecessarily. So sometimes it's a rebound. Let me show this guy that, he got married to, Bumi. Okay. Kenneth, we must marry. You know, and that goes. Desperation is not love. Is that clear? It's not love. Don't be desperate. Okay? Now, notice very well, I note this, that being with someone, loving the person, and staying with them all your life takes a lot than fleeting moments. And I'm saying it's not just for those who are not married, for also those who are. Fleeting moments is more than fleeting moments, more than butterflies in your belly. In fact, if you find butterflies in your belly, I recommend a doctor to take care of your belly. Because naturally, butterflies should not be in your belly. So you have respect, trust, you know, care. And then you also have, along the line, you find ego, lust will come in. And therefore, you have to have a life of love override that. So it's a mixed grill. So some things you should never call love. Need is not love. I need you. I need you. Abuse is not love. Control is not love. I need you. If my folks are going to, and they are crying, where have you been since morning? I needed your attention. The guy says, well, I'm busy. How would you be busy? That means I'm not on your timetable. I need you. I need you. I called you. You didn't pick up. You just sent the text, I'll call you back. How would you say you call me back? No matter what you're doing.
Yeah, I watch too much movies.
I like something, a classmate of mine, very sensible. He sat the wife down, very good communication, and he said, you know, if we see ourselves the way you want us to see, every hour I take you out, lunch, you see morning, afternoon, evening. He said, you know, we can't stay in this kind of house. Say, you know how much it costs. You know your salary. And you know mine. No one will employ a lover boy to run an organization this big. So let's agree on certain days. Now, I didn't say I'll do that, but it just made sense. On Tuesday, we'll have the lunch. I'll create time and we'll sit down and I'll listen to everything you have to say. On Thursday, we do the same thing. But the other days, let's face things that can make this marriage work. Like hard work, commitment to others, because that will make your marriage work. And to myself, and also to my own well-being. And it worked out. Because some of us have read Mills and Boone's fictitious characters, movies, and say, oh, it's my... And you know, most of the marriages that... love stories that eventually end in marriage, we don't get to know what happened after. Oh, you don't get that? Okay. Well, you can't change a man or woman because you love him. Ask God. You don't say, God loves you, and then we say, I see grace. But most of the time, we are happier because of forgiveness of sins. So you can't change someone because you love him. With all the love I have for you, you have not changed. Oh, a man or woman only changes because they love you. So get that right. That makes sense? Somebody, that makes sense. So put that in mind. And this is not just for those who are not married, it's also those who are married. So there's commitment to that, to love. And desperation is not love. Did I say that? Mm-hmm. Also, when you find yourself dealing with so many emotions, sexual, depression, don't get into any relationship. Or heartbreak. I don't know what the heartbreak is. I think heartbreak simply means somebody jilted you, right? Is that the hermeneutic? Huh? Somebody said, I'm not doing it again. So, you know, oh, my heart will go on. See, don't believe the music. They are just for entertainment. Alright? Believe what you really see. Okay? So, therefore, just say a few things. So, put down those emotions. Deal with them first before you get, or else you are just going to either keep having relationships, and some of us will do transshipments of relationships. Transshipment. Ship. At the end of the day, you just look out for, please, who is available? I'm done. So why not give yourself, you know, also don't be half, be a complete person. Have a relationship with God, with people, with the Word of God, have a career, have something to do with your life. Amen. Amen. Male and female, okay? Come with your life. I said this earlier in the first service. Don't get religion to make you happy. Your spouse or otherwise is not an ice cream man. Even ice cream people no longer make people that happy. Okay? Also, don't use relationship to solve loneliness. That's not why it is. It's a partnership. And when it becomes symbiotic or parasitic, where, you know, sorry, you know, I need your attention. And you know, some folks are attention crazy. And they like attention a lot. When you are in a place, they want you to be talking to them alone. Are you God? Even God allows me to talk to other people. And it's my creator. So you're not talking to me. But we spoke for 30 minutes. But that person, 5 minutes. That person, 6 minutes. You, 30 minutes. So you just be talking to me. Just be talking to me. Pick your phone. Let's just talk for 5 hours. Is this study group? Well, no, he's talking and talking and talking. So, it's gossip. You to ask me, what conversation can you have for 5 hours? About what? If it's not studying, if it's not a project you want to, you know, implement, that's money. What are you discussing? Ah, you know, I saw this, I went to this party. I don't even move to phone like me. I'll just be looking at you. After a while, I'll say, you know what? I didn't hear anything you said. You can be talking, I'll just be looking at you. And my mind is in 10 places. Because if you're an attention seeker, you are usually going to be parasitic. Don't be attention seeker. There are things that, listen, there are things that only God can solve. Your husband or wife can solve it. I hope you're aware. Huh? Is that not why we pray? Try and pray to your husband, you see what will happen. Say, I believe I receive from you in Jesus' name and all that. It won't work. So please, because a few other things like that shows that some of us were not emotionally ready. What's the purpose of recording conversations you have with people that you are going out with to have a relationship with? So you are recording them in case in future. Why are you torturing yourself? I recorded it so that when it breaks my heart, I'll let the world know the things he promised me. You know you are going insane. Were you forced? There's no point doing all of that. You know? Then threatening people relationship. Look, I have vowed. If I can't have you, nobody can have you. Even idols didn't go that far. Of course, don't use anybody as a rebound. It's not a partnership. We're just talking about partnership. In partnership, you don't do that. Don't manipulate, don't control. Don't torture people because you say you love them. Manipulation, control is not love. So don't do stuff that people are doing. Of course, look at the social media world today. People are having marital issues, they go on media. I think it's getting to it's a real insane world. I mean, go to the media to discuss what? You're just entertaining people. They're not going to solve your problems for you. They're just going to get entertained. And say, ah, and then you'll now be putting mouth in your matter. You know, and you say, ah, I want to share something a bit. I say, no, it's not, it's his fault, it's my fault. Something about the public is that, you know, some people really don't have much sense. They'll go to the public to say something that you said privately. For example, if somebody accuses you and say, ah, I discovered that when you use the toilet, you did not finish cleaning up. Say, ah, I finished cleaning up, oh. Let me prove it to you. Then you now, you know, you're an idiot. Things that I'm just being as explicit as possible. Things people are not supposed to see, they'll say, ah, I didn't even know you had cro-cro. Because you are the one that did it to yourself. Sorry, oh, this is church. Say, ah, eh, ah. So I said, well, you are the one that put it out. Amen. It's something called privacy. Praise the Lord. That's why men and women, when you see somebody that plays with the gallery, he will be the next gallery. Oh. So that everything, media, media, media. That's how your life will go. You know, spoke about Mary and Joseph. Can you remember? Don't forget. Everything, text, everything. What? Some people, I don't believe anybody like that is in this church. If you are in this church like that, I will recommend the deliverance ministry for you. Anything they are thinking is on WhatsApp status. Wow. Friends are scarce now in this world. WhatsApp status. Ah, I feel like them. WhatsApp status. Ah. Oh, I didn't even know. I didn't know that caller could do this to me. WhatsApp status. Are you okay? Wow. Wow. Mado. See, but like, if I was in a relationship with that kind of person, I'll break it immediately. Jojo, me, fiery woe. My life does not like noise. See, you have your kind in the world. Go and meet them. Ah. Any little thing, boom, 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 boom. And if they are eating, they put it on their WhatsApp status. Nobody look at that. It is best, because I think, really, for me, I think it's a mental problem. It is. There's something. No, it's been discovered that there's something that is secret from is recent. I'm not joking. Like looking for acceptance. What? Ah, you ate in the morning. You cooked Indomie and corn. Right there. You know, they, wow, come and enjoy. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And that thing will push you to make your life look like a theater. So relationships are not supposed to be used for that. So basically, like I said, you're just providing the public with entertainment. Relationships are secret. They should be protected by sane people. And it's supposed to be for sane people. Is that clear? Okay, so let's look at a few important factors. I wanted to address what that brother said earlier. Commitment and also discretion. Commitment and discretion. It's partnership. Because it's a partnership where you have, listen carefully, you are sexual partners. Don't forget that. You are emotional partners. You are spiritual partners. You are life partners. And that's what it is. So you owe one another service. We've seen that earlier. Please the wife. Please the husband. So what goes into that? And again, don't forget, you are not going anywhere. Is that clear? Is that clear? You are not going anywhere. There's no destination. Right? You are going everywhere. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, these are conversations. When you are mature enough, get into relationships and make sure it's not emotional. Don't sit down and have a conversation.
a healthy conversation on issues that matter. I mentioned in the first service that you must look at your values. Your values, your principles, your mission, your direction in life. Now, 1 Peter 3, Peter leaves us with something important. He says in verse 7, likewise you husbands. Now, why did he say likewise you husbands? The word there is homomois in the Greek, H-O-M-O-I-O-S, which related to something he had been talking about. Of course, very briefly, let's run through that. In verse 1, chapter 3, 1 Peter, he talks about wives being subjection to their own husbands. If they don't obey in the word, that is, if you have a husband who is not a believer, of course, not that you married him as a believer, married him as an unbeliever, got born again, your husband is not yet saved, then it says you may also without the word win them over. Then just like the psalmist, he said, look, the books of Proverbs, he said, it's your chaste conversation with fear that matters, not your outward adorning. Good to have beauty. Beauty is good. It's just for what it is. Beauty is always fleeting. Notice that if in any relationship, beauty is something that is captivating for the moment. Wow, you're looking good. And then, you know, it could lead to emotional things, affection, sex, all that. But it's never lasting. What lasts is character and commitment and what you really bring into the relationship. So that's what Peter is saying here. It's not wrong. I mean, I don't expect you to have a wife. I should never. A wife that you begin to look at the person and begin to be, by faith, say, I know you are beautiful. I know. Calling the things that be not as, I know you are fine. I tell you, I know you are handsome. The guy says, are you abusing me? He says, no, you see, beauty is hard to be older. You know, of course, but it is not the fabrics of a good marriage or relationship. Okay? Whose adorning let not be outward, adorning of plain of hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. Let it be the eating man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit with the sight of God of great price. So it shows you where the focus should be. He didn't tell you not to wear clothes or look good, but it says, really, how to win your husbands over by conversation is a meek and quiet spirit. Then he gave you an example. After this manner, in the old time, the only women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him honey. Darling, sweet, chocolate, eclairs, say Lord. Now I'm not expecting to leave this service and say Lord. No. Just showing respect, that's all. Whose daughters, you know, I said to me the first day, let me repeat it. When people are in courtship, you know, I was talking about Abraham and Sarah, you know they were siblings. So they're not likely to have courted. I mean, they've seen themselves, just half sister, half brother. So, but I be. And one day he said, no, stop bothering me. We use eye to say, can't you see? We've used leg to say, we've used hand, which is bother be. Forget bother be. Call me happy. pull my mustache and call me my name. Then when they get married, you say, Abestico. What's that? What's that for? Honor. You better expect that. You know, now you are in the household. So you behave yourself. That one is for toasting now. This one is 25 years. Can't say honey, say senior honey. Anyway, so he says, calling out Lord, as long as you do well and not afraid to admit it. Now, seven is our focus. You husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. So there is a knowledge, a knowing to marriage. The word dwell there is the word suneikeo. S-U-N-O-I-K-E-O. And it's a critical word for relationships. It means to dwell together as one, to dwell as family. Because we kill his family, so we are going to dwell as family, which means that you now have family in the woman. Interestingly, whenever these statements are made, unlike how we teach marriage today, the issue of children is never mentioned.
Oftentimes you find that marriages are now dependent on children. Okay, the children will be there, will be the basis, and they're not wrong, but usually an instruction between just two people. Let them dwell as family. Okay? That means that two people constitute family. Is that clear? Two people constitute a home, constitute a family. When they have kids, they are only expanding the home and family. So don't use a man to have children. Amen? That man is just his farm donor. Amen? A woman to have children. No. It should to have a home. A home in the sense of somebody you are at home with and all that. Yeah. So he now says, giving honor. So according to knowledge, that's what we want to focus on. Katas gnosis. Knowledge he uses here is interesting. It's experiential. Gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. It's experiential. It is gain. The Greek word, that word, is something you gain from relationships. So which means that there is very little you will know before you are married. Right? The marriage itself, you will now gain knowledge. You will gain knowledge of that person. Because gnosis here is specific. You will know the person more. You know, then it also leads to acquaintance. So which means from the day you say, I do is just it's not a Bible word, okay? All this I do marital vow. It's a recent development. Is that clear? The recent development, whether you vow or you don't vow. The real issue here is you now start to learn the person. You know. Which means that there is no perfection before the marriage. There is no perfect knowledge. It is during the marriage you start to know. So it's better that the person you are knowing is a believer. You share the same ideals, the same values, the same vision in life, different personalities, definitely different approaches to several things. But you now start to know. You start to learn. The same way you do Bible study and you pay attention to details. It's the same way that you learn. That's the word gnosis here. And is not who you are in Christ. He didn't say, for example, you don't have to know that your wife is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Leave that one. That's not what we're talking about. Say, I'm just realizing who you are in Christ. And I can see the grace of God upon your life. That's not what he's saying, no. Something you learn about that person from relationship and from experience, from acquaintance, which means marriage itself has its own experience. And some things, some knowledge can be shocking. Some new things can be shocking. For example, I didn't know something about myself. I didn't know it. It was my dad who first said it. And I didn't first of all understand when he said it. You know. And I found out it was true. I argued it because I felt, no. You want to know what I won't tell you. I said no. I even quoted scripture when he said it years ago. I found that he was right. So there are things that by acquaintance, just by, you know, observation, being together, fellowship, you come to know. And that is the joy of marital relationships. So usually it is said that the first 6-9 months people get the shock therapy. In fact, there's a couple like that in Ibadan. I will keep saying this story. You know, the wife came from, you know, we call it Ajebota. Ajebota. The guy is Ajepaki. But, I mean, they love each other. That's key. And then they got married. So, where she came from, there was a way they used to use the toothpaste. You know, and they'll press the toothpaste, you know, from the bottom. That means you didn't go to body house. And then, you know, so the guy is regular guy, can just take to open it. I remember one day like that, my daughter called me and said, Daddy, the way you do toothpaste, do you realize what you're doing? I said, what?
that whenever I use toothpaste, you press it from the middle. I said, I bought it with my money. She said, no, I'm not arguing that with you. But it's not the right thing to do. I said, you can't tell me what to do with my money. She said, no. She insisted. She now said that you usually leave the cover. I said, yeah, cover, toothpaste. Secondary school. I can't remember having cover on my toothpaste. She said the implication is she taught me something that I never thought about. She said, insects will come. Say, whether you like those, you are going to fall sick. I said, oh, that's some knowledge. Said, so you cover this one. She's now saying, you cover. She said, this one now that is on it, you remove this portion. So I said, okay. Now me bonamo. Put it on top. You know. So I kind of now said that it's true. I never learned how to cover to. It wasn't necessary. You know. Now this couple, the guy just pressed on the middle. I saw the wife was like, they have told you. Press at the. Say, I've heard. So one day she now got so furious. You know, some people can be emotional. I have told you to stop pressing the toothpaste in the middle. No! No! Don't be joking. That's what ended the marriage. You don't know Africa. They'll tell you, what did you say happened? Your wife slapped you over toothpaste. Yeah, Shego, slapped you. Say, sorry. Is it your wife or your husband? The all of that thing that have happened before the day of Pentecost, you bring them and all that. It looks simple, right? You'll be shocked. So that was the way they talk. I saw a couple one night. The husband said, the way she talks to me anyhow. She said, how do I talk to you anyhow? How can you say I'm abusive? Go punish anybody they say I curse people. How can you say that? How? That's how he talks rubbish. Says I abuse him. Yeah? It was here all that happened. He in this place. Not a fight. Something happened. Say, how can he say that? I can never speak low on him. Nonsense. That's how we say. I just prayed for them. The guy said, what do I do now? So I said, be led. So there are things you get to learn, you know, and don't be shocked. You know new things. Everybody feels home at home. Right? I don't see anyone who stays at home and you're going to be in your bedroom, then you start to make up. Make up, wear perfume, then do your hair, or you go and make your hair fresh. Say, why? Because I want to go to bed. Say, eh? You went to make your hair at the salon because you want to go to bed. Say, yes. What I'm saying is, when you get home, you are relaxed. When you're in public and you want to fart, you'll be praying in tongues. God, 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 oh Lord, this cannot happen here. So you're just moving away. But when you are home, but home is where you do that easily. You do that very easily. So, there are things you will learn. You will learn that, this guy's fat is as heavy as the grace of God upon his life. As the grace is, so is the fat. You know? And that is part of it. You learn new things, eating habits. You learn, you know, how the person gets upset. You get to know those things. But that's the joy. And look at Peter's admonition on that. He says, giving honor to the wife. That means the concept of honor comes in. You have to honor her in spite of what you have found out. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So wife just said to her husband,
That's why you married me. You are the only one that can handle my worry. And really, that is what it is. You know, giving honor. Timings in the Greek, which means this honor is required for the wife. Strange, because in their culture it's not required. But this is Bible culture. You honor her. Some of our marriages and relationships, that it requires respect. Respect works everywhere in all relationships. Do not marry a woman you don't respect. You should respect everybody, no doubt. But you know what I mean. That you marry a man you do not respect. So he said, giving honor as unto a weaker vessel. Controversial statement there, but let me deal with that a little bit. The word he uses here is strange. Asthenes, but he uses it in an oxymoron format, or let's say figure of speech, as unto, which means that whatever you have found out, you know, just the way Romans 15:1 says you bear the infirmity of the weak, ensure you honor her in spite of what you have found out. You know, that's all I can interpret for now. As a vessel, so we're supposed to see ourselves as vessels, vessels unto honor, then heirs together. That's the strange word they uses there. Heirs together of the grace of life, sukleronomos, sukleronomos. Same word used for us in Christ, Romans 8:17, Ephesians 3:6, Hebrews 11:9. So we see ourselves as we're learning from each other. Is that clear? We honor one another. So honor is not just for husband, it's both ways. Is that clear? Respect, knowledge, and we grow together. See it as a growth, a growing together with someone. You share your good times and bad times. I remember there was an argument we had in the 90s about the marital vow, for better, for worse. But this one said, no, I'm not, it's for better, for better. You know, and all that. So we tried to change it and all that. But I think those who came up with the vow were basically just saying, you know, we just all seasons. We're in this forever. Whatever I learned to do about you, I put up with it and all of that. So Paul says you render, I mean, so Peter says you render or you give honor. The Greek of that word means to bestow. Aponemo. A-P-O-N-E-M-O. To bestow. What is due. So when you honor your wife, you are not doing her a favor. Mm-mm. You are acting on God's word to give due honor, to bestow honor. The honor could be, you know, in how you relate, how you treat her, and also your husband as well. So you bestow the honor. It's something you bestow. Don't forget we mentioned service earlier on. You bestow the honor on your wife and also, of course, your husband. So let's take it, let's go by it again. There's an acquaintance you must have that produces knowledge. And that is the reason why you don't, you see, don't be, this generation is about, they hate process. The Bible say, okay, so where exactly, what exactly, they hate process. You know, they just want something that pam, 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 quick money, quick this one, you know, everything quick. It doesn't work like that. Life has its own processes. So when it comes to relationships also, get in the process. Of course, I definitely didn't talk about praying or being led at this point. I asked you to go and listen to earlier teachings on that. But let's look at the practical things you need to know. So you need to know the process. You need to be patient. And this is the reason why, I want to get back on that word gnosis. Comparison is one of the greatest problems you can create in a relationship. Is one of the greatest problems. Do not compare your relations with another person. Don't force your husband or wife or your future husband or future wife into a mold of somebody else. Hey, some people are doing this, we must do that. Some people are doing that, we must do that. That's how it is done. We must do this one. You say, you know, look at how that guy treats his damn self. They go on horse ride. They go, I won't do that. That's it. Us right. Sure. One time my daughter made me go watch my son's come and watch movie. So we sat down. And so we're watching and watching and watching. He said, Daddy, you're not focusing. I said, I am. Well, how would I be watching somebody with muscles, fake, flying over houses. I said, ah, it's just a movie. I said, I know. That's why I'm not watching it. Said, you've been with your phone. Can you just, okay, do you know what happened? I said, she told me the whole movie. I was there. She was telling me the movie that I was supposed to watch. I said, that's how I am. Huh? Said, there was a time I was a movie freak. There was a time I freaked out of it. And that was the time I gave back to you. So it's important to know who I am. Said, okay. Said, you can be boring. I said, I know. So if you're not telling me that, I should not be jumping with you. Where? One time like that, we went for one thing, we're trying to one scary something. I was shouting. So I said, what's the fascination? I said, that's fun. It wasn't fun for me. Everybody was just, Now, this shouldn't be you. This is just me. You get it? So I said, no, I want you to come out and bring a rose. Rose? I can't do it. Hello. I'll just be laughing when I was doing it. I can't do it. If I do it, it's not good for you. Because it's not real. I'll still make fun of it. I'm trying to say that they are different people. Do you get it? And don't make your husband an actor. Or your wife an actress. Okay, chill. What's this? Don't do that. Have the gnosis experience. Have the learning moments where you know what you should know. Don't compare. Is that very clear? Put this, no two relationships can be the same. What we should focus on is modeling Christ and the church and those who model it. No two relationships can be the same. People, I tell people oftentimes, people have their own struggles, their own compromises. Read something out that may look like there's no champion to relationships. There's nobody who has it all figured out and, you know, knows everything. Just 1 minute. I was going to read something out. Okay, this is key. Now, notice this. I was going to say in the third service. Don't throw away a beautiful relationship just because you discover little imperfections and indiscretions. Never forget that your wife or husband is just a human being like you. Everybody fails, including me. Period. You will never have a relationship with anybody who will not disappoint you or fail you. So don't throw it away. Don't forget, we are all flawed. We have flawed moments. I mean, all of us. So when you choose to love someone, you love them with their flaws. Now, I saw this article and I liked it. I even shared it on Facebook. Let me just share it. When you see couples celebrating 50 years together, a lot is in that space. Tolerance, forgiveness, acceptance, foolishness, hurt, joy, grace, remorse, apologies, understanding. I'll take it again. Tolerance is there. Forgiveness, acceptance, foolishness, hurt, joy, grace, remorse, apologies. I've had chances to the glory of God, I've helped two people come back from divorce to marriage. I mean, they divorced. Two. Eventually. I tried almost, don't let me give you the number. That two is a bad record. But what I've found out in second marriage is that people oftentimes discover in their second marriages that they could have just endured certain things they ran away from their first marriages. So usually it happens because we're not prepared for it or we were in a hurry. So sometimes a little patience, endurance will be important. Okay, let me go back to that quote. It was not always sweet. They accepted so many things to get that far. They carried many crosses, looking the other way many times. Try and look the other way. Now, you're looking at somebody, Abba. Look the other way. It means
means mojukuro. It's not everything you talk about. Look the other way. Now, a marriage is not successful until the partner dies. Interesting. People in 50 years of marriage eventually divorce. I've seen people of 61 years divorce. Now, there's nothing like you didn't do due diligence. There's no manual to marriage. It's a dark journey that gets brighter as you proceed. Let me say that again. It's quotable quote. It's a dark journey that gets brighter as you proceed. You see many people say on social media, I cannot take that. I will never take that. You don't know what you will take until you are offered. There are many things you will take it, and you will take it. So stop making mouth. Okay? It's commitment that you must be ready to endeavor to go into. So critical things will be the learning process. Don't shortchange it. Discover things and you wonder, oh, I didn't know this before. Someone say, I didn't know this before. We were not married. It's that simple. Because we were not married. So, therefore, you know, something is consistent also that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 3:7, prayer. Paul does the same thing. 1 Corinthians 7:4-5. 1 Peter 3:7. So which is prayer is important. We should learn to pray for one another. Learn to pray for another. It's important in marriages. If anything happens at all, learn to pray for your spouse. And don't start it when you are married. There is question about family altar, all those things, people praying together. Well, I remember something I heard when I was a younger Christian. And the man said, he came up with that story about praying together. He said, he just couldn't flow. So they now agreed between themselves that, you go and pray, I'll pray, they will come and do the grace together. Because the way you pray is very different, of course. But the point is, whether you pray together or not, the key issue is pray for one another. That is more important than praying together. Pray for one another, yeah? And also know that you will always face God's word versus human tradition. God's word versus human tradition. Like I said last week, the folks that talk about sex, like, oh, sex is the strength of marriage. It is not. Sex is important in marriage, but that's one of the reasons why you got married. But it is not the strength of it. The strength of marriage is your commitment to one another. So you have the Exodus 20, for example, where you have father and mother, in spite of their culture. Or Ephesians 6:1-2, where parenting is jointly spoken of, father and mother. So it shows you that we'll be battling culture every day of our lives. The Yoruba culture, Hausa culture, Igbo culture, African culture, European culture, etc. So, from what Peter said, we're building a home, a place where we can both live together and dwell together. And then we introduce kids as well. Ephesians 6:1-2. And then be an example to other believers. So therefore, I need commitment, right? Three things I want you to just put there. Commitment, I'm going to be committed to you. I'm going to be learning from you. And this goes a lot to men, because sometimes our culture thinks that you can't learn from your wife. That's rubbish. I'm going to be learning from you. If after a while you discover that in couples, you begin to rub off on each other, the husband begins to assume certain personality traits of the wife. And that's part of the gnosis experience. We have partnership together. So, sit down and ask those questions just before you say I do. Sexual, financial, parenting, ministry, and life generally. Sexual, financial, parenting, ministry, and life generally. Sit down and just have that conversation about it. Sexual, financial, parenting, ministry, and life generally. There is no perfect union. Not in the Bible. Even Jesus and you is not perfect. Abby? Ah, is it? He's the one that makes it perfect. You make my life so beautiful. Do you say that about him? Uh-huh. So no perfect union. Don't make comparisons. I mentioned that earlier. It's not necessary. Two people should just find out what works for them. Is that very clear? Mm-hmm. Keep Christ as your focus because you're supposed to mirror him to others.
Write this down, it's critical. Self and selfishness will kill any relationship. Self and selfishness. Self and selfishness. It's about me. It's about me. Like we saw in the first service, he says you must please your wife. Please your husband. And we look at Romans 15, 1 and 2. It means don't please yourself, please your neighbor. So you have to learn to please the other person. Self and selfishness will always not work. So some of us who like all this me thing, you are going to create a problem. You've done this for me. Me. It's going to be a problem. Because it's not me, it's us. So you look at that. In variance, there's one or two things I've marked here. Yeah. Okay, let me go over some things I said earlier. Why torture yourself? Why are you recording people that you are supposed to be in love with? What are you recording it for? That means something is wrong with you. That means you are not supposed to be in that relationship. Or you are using that relationship for wrong reasons. I said, don't use relationship to threaten people. No true love survives in an atmosphere of threat. God builds in our hearts a no condemnation environment so that we can trust Him, serve Him in genuineness. So don't build a relationship of condemnation. This happens a lot when couples, for example, when the wife does something wrong, the husband does something wrong, can be infidelity. And then you now discover that that becomes the atmosphere of the home. You are just going to build a negative atmosphere. If anything you are going to do, introduce love and grace into that atmosphere and walk the home, get built. Truth of the matter is that many relationships and marriages that have survived different crises simply because people handled it with wisdom. A lot of love and grace. Of course, sincerity and openness and commitment, but sincerity, love, grace should always be involved in that. The atmosphere of your home is what you put there. Nothing is automatic. I usually say this, that, you know, marriage is an empty box. You know, it doesn't come full. It doesn't come with love, sacrifice. You're the one that will put it there. It's whatever you put in there that you get. So the question is at the start, what are you putting in there? Again, I'll repeat, don't be an attention crazy person. It always destroys things because you make it all about you. And don't have a husband and wife that will not have friends anymore because they are married to you. Who are you? Are you an idol? Don't do that. Yes, there's a concept of living father and mother, which is important, where you need to know that marriage is not a tripartite agreement. It's not Trinity. It's not the Godhead. Two people building a home together. They now had kids, which is not the home at inception to whatever they are doing. That's just the Bible truth about it. I also mentioned earlier in the first service not to imbibe the culture of the Jews or any culture whatsoever. I mentioned the concept of having marriages, the way people do it today, four ceremonies. This is just cultural. It's not, you can choose to be, I've joined couples with nobody there. I mean nobody. And I said, I'm the pastor. I said, you are good. He said, what do we do? I said, you are good. Ah. He said, what about the body of Christ? Ah. I said, what's the body of Christ? He said, the body of Christ. Should we call everybody on CNN? He said, no, Christians. Well, we're not Christians, yeah? Two or three. Are we not gathered in his name? Am I not church leader? I say, go on. Just family. If you have told family, they know now. I'm talking about, don't. See, all those things are not necessary. Don't put in ceremony what is supposed to be reality. Reality really is both of you building a home together and a relationship together. So, quickly, we therefore have a duty to know. I think my emphasis this time around is for you to know each other. And really, don't be too fast. You can't know someone overnight.
Hope that's clear. Be patient. You can't know anybody overnight. Even God, who is our Father, do you know Him overnight? Eh? There are things you get to know in yourself. You say, ah, wow. About God, wow. Some things, some texts of scripture that you have mastered. When it's explained to you, you say, wow, never saw it like that. You do blame God. Then you now see your husband, your wife, or your, you see, financier or fiancé. And you say, ah, I never knew this. And you have known. Ah, how come you didn't show me this one? Ah, did you ask? You get to know that walking experience. So just before you say, I do, I've answered that in the first service. You must have this conversation. Communicate. Oh, I put something here. I think that's the, this must be the third service. But let me see whether I can rule it in one way or the other. Okay, good. I said, communicate, don't excommunicate. Don't use body language. Body language, grumbling and murmuring. How many of you know that murmuring is a sin? How many of you know? Murmuring. I didn't say mummy, murmuring. Complaining? Raise your hand now. Is it a sin? Anxiety. Eh? Whether in marriage or outside the home, is it a sin? It's a sin. How many of you know that malice is a sin? Unforgiveness? Bitterness? Anger? So it's not just about your husband or your wife. It's actually about the word of God. Don't use body language. You know body language is? You just called you. Bola? I'm here. Is there anything wrong? Did you do anything wrong? When I was talking to you, I heard you. No, don't do that. That's the flesh. And that is an outflow of watching movies. Okay? Murmuring is a sin. Is that clear? Using foul words is a sin. Ephesians 4:29. Let your speech, I'll close here. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Edify. Don't say silly things in the home. There's no way you say something that is not a sin. Right? Then to pray and fellowship and also discern the Lord's body. So, murmuring is a sin. No murmur. Give thanks and express yourself. Say what you want to say. See some Christian couples like that. There was one that I went to settle issues with them. After that, I said I will never do it again. The man went to a prophet to go and get something for prayers. And he said that a woman who is in her period must not be close to that. I think it was oil. So that's how this gracious sister, who used to attend our meetings then, in the 90s, she took a pad, stained, and put it on the thing. And the matter will be settled. So I got there. When the man was telling me what she did, I said, sister, what did you do? He said, ah! He said, pastor, ask him. Ask her. I said, yeah. With all the teaching on walking in the spirit that we were doing every other day, she didn't walk. She bent over the spirit. So as we're talking, he said, I will do it again. I will do this one. I will do that one. That's why the man got angry. She now did something again. The man just, as he wanted to hit her. That's how they hit man of God. I said, yeah! And they were fighting each other. I said, I'm happy, sorry, and they were, From that point, I don't settle things in the midway again. I'm not a mediator. I'll say from afar, I say, easy. So I had to sit down, the marriage broke up eventually because of two, and they were adults, real adults. I mean, they were not teenagers, they were in their 40s or so then. They were just unnecessary, petty. And both of them eventually went to remarry, and the marriage also broke. Because you didn't deal with something that you deal with. Don't think, if I leave A, I go to B. B is better than A. Don't worry. It's gnosis, you see. You see, it's not like that. Sometimes it's you. You just need to correct certain things that you do. Did you learn something?